You're listening to Small and Mighty Conversations, a podcast celebrating and supporting the small business owner and creative entrepreneur. With your host, me, Sam Burgess. You're listening to Season 5, Episode 3. Hello everybody and welcome back to Small and Mighty Conversations. This week I am chatting with serial entrepreneur and highly inspirational woman, Jet Verdi. Jet is on her fifth business that she has had in the 15 years that she's been working, and she is just one of the most fascinating people I've spoken to. In today's episode, Jet kind of talks us through her her businesses that she's run so far, and we talk a lot about her latest business, which is Ilo. Now, Ilo is a 100% chemical-free organic cotton sanitary product business, but she is also trying really hard to end period poverty by donating a percentage of her profits. Today's episode, we talk a lot around the lack of education, the fact that sanitary products in that are currently available in the market are full of chemicals, and there are some amazing sort of stats and facts that Jet shares. I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode. As always, any links mentioned can be found in the show notes. And if you are listening on iTunes, please do take 2 minutes to rate and review. It means an awful lot to me. And don't forget to share that you're listening to the episode and your thoughts over on Instagram and tag myself at Sam Burgess UK. That's enough from me. On with today's show. Hi, Jet. Welcome to Small and Mighty Conversations.
Hi.
I'm really excited to have you on the show today. And to kick off, like I do with everybody, I would love for you to introduce yourself to the Small and Mighty Conversation listeners and let us know what you do and how you came to found your business.
Okay, so like you said, my name is Jet. I live in Singapore and I'm the founder of Ilo, which is a menstrual product subscription service. We educate, empower and inspire people about their periods, menstrual health, menstrual cycles, and we also donate 50% of our net profits back to fighting period poverty because it is a massive issue all over the world, not just in third world countries. I started Ilo, I actually launched in March this year, but I've been working on it since August 2018. So I started Ilo when I had my daughter in January 2018 because I just had a bit of a freak out moment about women's rights, women's health issues, the lack of autonomy we have over our bodies and educational aspects to do with female health in particular. And then just really kind of looking at how I could help or what I could bring to the table in terms of that and make a kind of positive impact for future generations. Menstrual health became really obvious one, especially with period poverty. And just the figures are staggering. You know, even in the UK, I mean, it's like 1 in 10 girls can't afford menstrual products on a regular basis.
It's dreadful. It's really dreadful. It makes me angry. Really,
yeah, exactly. And so what I really wanted to do, like, this is my sixth business now in my 15 years of adult life.
That's incredible. And
all of my businesses have been very intentional and have had purpose, but I really feel that all of those years, it's really culminated to this. And I didn't want to just create a business where I knew I could make a lot of money because I was offering a product that was necessary. I really wanted it to be almost like a showcase. You know, I just feel in today's world, there's so many people just making money and there's actually no giving back. And it's so important to me, especially now I've had Molly, to be like, shit, like the world needs as many people doing as many amazing things as possible. And if I can do this as one tiny little thing, maybe that might make a difference to somebody out there. So that's how I really got started. Yeah.
What year did you say you started the business?
So we launched, so I started working on the business last year, August, and then we launched in March. So it didn't take me that long to launch. I had a very clear vision and I was really focused and intentional with every aspect of it. I'm also kind of quite a, I don't know if you kind of do human design or anything like that, but I'm quite a projector. So the minute like something happens and it sits well with my body, things just start to flow really easily. So it was a really simple process for me actually. And I suppose the fact that I've had so many businesses before, I never had that moment of like, oh, can I? No, I shouldn't. Maybe I can. Oh, I don't know if I can. you know, which happens to quite a few entrepreneurs when they first start out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah, it's been crazy whirlwind, to be honest. Like, it's just been mad.
It's amazing. I'm going to definitely dig in more to ILO, but tell me a little bit about the fact that this is your sixth business. Like, give us a whistle stop tour of the five businesses before and the fact that you're quite clearly a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, I'm addicted, like literally.
Addicted to starting businesses. I love it. There's definitely worse addictions out there.
Oh my, absolutely. So it started when I left university and I traveled around the world. I ended up in Australia, in Darwin, in the Northern Territory. Mm-hmm. And I actually ended up dating a plumber who had his license but was working for another plumber. And I was like doing shitty jobs, you know, just to like hang around. And I was like, look, you're making no money with all this work you're doing and your boss is getting all the money. You're licensed. Why don't we start a plumbing company? So we started that and we like worked our asses. I mean, we didn't have a break and we were on calls out at midnight, 2 a.m. like every day. We just worked our asses off. We ended up getting loads of government contracts. So super successful within the year. Then we broke up. He bought me out of the business, which was amazing because he totally didn't have to do that. With that, I then went on to renovate an old hacienda in Mexico and turned it into a sustainable boutique hotel where we were completely solar powered and grew all of our own organic vegetables and did like, sorry, the words in English have totally missed me, teaching you how to grow your own produce, you know, and looking after the soil and giving back and all that kind of stuff. Then after 5 years of that, I was like, oh my fucking God, cannot do this anymore. It's like stressing out. I was 25 when I started that business. So it was a lot of pressure on my shoulders.
Yeah.
And it was just me. And it was just, it was
Why did you decide to do that? Because like the first business, you there was a clear reason why that came to you and you thought, you know, genius moment. The second business, not even slightly close to the first business. So I'm just wondering where that like came from.
Yeah, so in my life, I've traveled a lot with my parents and we've stayed in a lot of hotels and we've lived in a lot of hotels. And I was always like, I can do better. Like this cocky young person who's like an idiot, doesn't know better. But I was always just like, I can do better and I'm going to do it one day. And the opportunity came up. And my dad actually found this hacienda in Mexico that had been abandoned for 50 years. And I spent a year and a half, like literally cutting down plants and trees and weeds to see the property in the first place. And then we added cabanas and renovated it. And at the time, like solar wasn't very big in Mexico at all. Like Tulum, I don't know if you heard of Tulum. Mm-hmm. It's like Instagram famous. Mm-hmm. So they just started bringing in the fact that hotels had to be solar powered. But we were actually the first hotel in our state to be completely sustainable.
Wow.
Which was really cool. Yeah, so at 25, that was just massive. And then I basically pretty much went down a spiral of depression and like was very close to it being very, very serious.
What do you think pushed you into that? Was it the stress of the business or personal?
It was just so lonely. It was so lonely. And like Mexico, I don't know if you've been, but it's a very macho culture. So it's amazing to travel in. But when you're working there as a single woman under 30 and a foreigner, it's just a head wreck. Like, I mean, literally, during renovations, I would be going into paint shops to buy like hundreds of liters of paint. And the guy on the counter would be like, now, are you sure you don't want to ask your husband that you've got the right color white? And like, that doesn't sound like much, but when that is being projected onto you at least 10 times a day, it really messes with your head. So I had to get out of that basically. And I had been cooking for all the guests at the hotel, which was amazing. But my mum was like, right, you need to get out, just leave, like just pack up suitcases, bring the dog, get on a plane, come back to Scotland. So I did that just before I turned 30. And then my mum was like, okay, I found you this place, you can go for 3 months. It's a cookery course in Ireland called Ballymaloe.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And it's basically the same thing as your hacienda. So they teach you how to grow plants. It's all organic. They teach you how to cook from like local producers, and it's really about providence and where things come from and respecting nature and eating seasonally. So I was like, yeah, you know, like that sounds like a great thing. I don't have to think about anything. I can just like eat to my heart's content, mm-hmm. all the Irish butter and dairy and be really happy. So I did that. And then when I was there, I got in touch with a food stylist who'd worked for Jamie Oliver and Gordon Ramsay. And at the time it was like Instagram was getting big, but I was still like, what is this thing? Mm-hmm. Totally not into it. But started to get into food styling more, and it just really fitted well with my kind of ethos. Like, I really love creating, but I'm not very good at being told what to do. So like working in a restaurant just doesn't suit me at all. You know, like I'm not that kind of person. So I went and worked with her for free for a couple of book shoots that she was doing. And then she started giving me work. And at that time I was living in my car in Ireland. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm okay at this. So I'll take a gamble and I'll rent a house for a year and just see what happens in Ireland. So then I opened up my studio, which was my third business.
Okay. Yeah, and what happened to the hacienda in Mexico? Did you sell it?
I honestly, I just left, and like, I didn't think about it for a year and a half. Like I literally just had to shut it down and get out of that. Like, it was really serious mentally for me.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't in the mind frame. And even now I talk about it like quite, you know, openly and jovially, but like, I never want to go back.
It's
a big chunk of my life that it was just so tough. So then I opened up my creative studio in Dublin, and I worked with everyone from like Guinness to Selfridges in London to, you know, smaller brands, which was amazing, amazing, amazing. Then what I did was I started doing food consultancy with brands as well. So it was all around like food and creativity and photography. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm trying to find all these amazing props that don't cost a fortune, but also aren't like mass produced. So I'm going to start my own homeware range. So then I started my own homeware range, and I worked with local designers or makers. So I would design a product with them, and then we would bring out a limited run of 25, 30, maybe 50 items. And once that run was over and sold, we wouldn't produce anymore. So it was really cool.
Wow.
Really tough, really hard, like no money in it whatsoever, barely paying my bills. So that's business number four, and then ILO. So five businesses.
Total. Yeah. That's incredible. I think it's amazing. I'm always fascinated by people that just have that spark and that spirit, and they see an opportunity and they go for it, because I think those that have a serial entrepreneurs almost make up for all the people that have an idea but never do anything with it, if that makes sense. Like, I think everybody has an idea for a business. Everybody does. But there are some people that do it and other people that just think, you know, it's a great idea, but it's not something I'm going to do. That's incredible. And that's amazing. And then obviously ILO was kind of came out of the fact that you were having a baby and you were having a little girl and you were thinking, I'm not happy with the state of the world and I'm going to do something about it.
So it's been a massive change, obviously, from like food and photography and consulting to like tampons.
Well, exactly. Yes. I mean, they're very different businesses, and now you're located in Singapore, so you've gone from Dublin to Singapore.
It's been an amazing year of changes with Molly and ILO and moving country when she was 3 months old. So, I mean, I'm not one to like do things lightly.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I love that though. I think it's great. You're somebody who just goes for it. And I think we all need a little bit of that. And you've got a lot of it. And I think that's amazing. And I love that.
I'm happy to share.
Which is fantastic. And I'm sure lots of people are like, oh my God, I just want to bottle a little bit of whatever it is that she's got. Starting ILO, what kind of, obviously you've got quite a lot of business experience behind you. You know the basics of business, but do you still sit and write like a business plan for what you're going to do? Do you think about how you're going to finance it? Do you still kind of go into that kind of detail?
So ILO is actually the first time I've ever written a business plan. And it's purely because we were looking for investors, or I was looking for investors.
Okay.
And before that, I've never written a business plan. I think they're bullshit, if I can say that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because I just think it's a way of, like, prolonging starting the business. And I think nothing is ever going to be perfect. Your business plan is never going to be perfect. It is going to change so much. Mm-hmm. In the first month, 2 months, yep. 6 months, that I think there's some really strategic things that you need to have laid out, and that's amazing, and you should have that laid out. But I think in general, business plans are just a waste of time. Like, they are for your bank manager or investors.
I completely agree. I was recording an episode earlier today, and I said when I first started my business, I had like a 25 or 30 page business plan, but that business doesn't exist, even though it's still technically the same business. That business that it's on paper doesn't exist, and it wasn't that business within 6 months. When I rebranded in January, I just did a one pager, like, this is some figures that I want to achieve, this is the goal, this is the mission, these are my values, cool. Yeah. And I mean, even now, 6 months after rebranding, business has changed again.
And I think that's the thing. I think we get so stuck. I mean, from what I see on Instagram, and I do follow, like, you know, Girl Tribe Gang and Mumpreneurs, even though I absolutely hate that phrase. Like, same. I follow all of those things, and I see so much effort placed on, like, get your business plan, get your house in check, and da 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 da. And I'm like, oh my God, you're just wasting time. Like, just do it.
Go on 100 courses before you start your business on how to start a business.
Yeah. And, you know, okay, that's part of my personality as well. I'm definitely like a do first and think later. But I have the basics. Mm-hmm. Like, I know my finances, I know my financial plan, I know where I want to be, how much I can invest, et cetera, et cetera. And, like, your goals, like, just even making a list of your goals is enough to get you going.
So obviously, you said you had to write a business plan this time around because you're looking for investment. Have you secured investment, or are you still going through that process?
Yes, I'm going through that process, which is really tough, I have to be honest. Like, I'm finding that aspect so hard right now. Like, we hear all of these conversations about only 1% of female entrepreneurs are funded, and we want to fund you, and we support women, but actually when it comes down to it, like, investors are often men who are in tech, who make businesses money, rather than businesses who can still make money but do good for the community. And it's very, I've become very disenchanted with the whole investor angel.
And you're talking to them about tampons.
I know. I'm like, you don't understand, like, 80 million women need tampons at any one time. Like, my market is huge. This industry has not been revolutionized in like 100 years. Like, you don't understand. It's just, anyway, so I'm on a rant there, but like, there's, you know, it's just, it's like, businesses is really, for me, instinctual. And, like, of course, you need to do your research. And, like, I did a bunch of research before I started ILO. I did a bunch of research about toxicity in menstrual products. You know, mainstream sanitary products are so toxic. Like, there was a recent research that came out. 85% of mainstream sanitary products contain cancer-causing weed killer. Like, oh, my God, what? Like,
and we're putting that up by our cervix. Nice. Yeah.
And, like, your vagina is your most absorbent part of your body. So, like, you're putting in...
Oh, this is awful.
Like, it's so scary. So a big part of ILO is, like, re-education and teaching people about your menstrual health and how it can actually have a positive impact on your life, which most people are like, yeah, fuck off, Jet. My period can never be this thing. I'm like, no, wait. I could totally help you. Let me help you. And then after 2 months or so, they're like, oh, okay, now I get it. I'm like, yes.
Have you had to educate yourself a lot about menstrual cycles and all of that? You think you know a lot because you're a woman. We think we know a lot about it. And then I still learn things that surprise me. And I'm like, how did I not know that? I've been having them for like, God, I don't even know how many years, 18, 20 years, something like that. And it's like, wow.
Isn't it? It's so mad. Like, yeah, so I did a lot of research before I started ILO. I made a really clear list of my ethics and morals that I wanted to upkeep and how that I really wanted to be a purposeful and intentional business over just a business that makes money. And of course, I need to pay my bills. That goes without saying. But there's so much more. Like, businesses who keep profit, and I'm talking like profit of like 100 grand, 200 up, like the profit. It's like, what is that profit for? It's literally to make your investors happy or to make your bank manager happy, because that money, like, do you know, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't benefit you. No. It doesn't, like, you're not getting a raise. You're not helping your family. Like, it's just money in the bank, you know? So I suppose, yeah, research, goal setting, and really looking intuitively at what, like, what I wanted to be able to bring to the world, which makes me sound like a real asshole if I think about it now.
It doesn't at all. I think, no, I don't think it does at all. I think, you know, more and more people are starting businesses now that they want to, like you're saying, more than just making money. I started my business and Small and Mighty Co. because I genuinely want to help other small businesses thrive. It's not about making loads of money. And, you know, I need to, I'll be honest, I really should make more money, but I do what I do because I love what I do and because I want to, it's, you know, I'm not even making an impact on the environment or anything, but for me, I feel like I will leave the world a better place when I go, because I did something and I felt like I did something more than just went to work and made money. Like, I think it's fine for us to want more than that. And what you're doing is amazing. And it's also, it's very on trend at the moment for us to be doing businesses that benefit, because that is the way things are moving.
Yeah. No, totally. And I think that's also a massive part of me as a business owner looking for investment. Like, a lot of the rejections I've had is like, well, we don't understand why you donate your net profits to fighting period poverty. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I don't actually want your money, you know, like, and that's really cutting my nose off to spite myself. But like, if you cannot see how beneficial that is to the world, to our wider community, like, you're like, I'm okay by myself believing that this is good, you know? And it's as a consumer myself, I look at companies and I'm like, that is an awesome project. Tell me what else you're doing, you know? Because like, it's really scary. Like, for me, having a kid and thinking about what the world is going to be like for her when she's 20, 30, like, oh my goodness, I'm petrified.
There's some scary figures out there, some scary thoughts around what's going to happen with the environment and things like that. It's really not good. I saw a stat yesterday someone sent me saying that apparently we ingest the equivalent of a credit card of plastic every year, because of microplastics.
Every week. And it's every week.
Was it every week?
It's worse than every year. It's every week.
I eat a credit card every week.
It's so scary, isn't it?
Wow.
I know. It's so petrifying.
52 credit cards in a year.
And I have to say, gosh. So we were just back in Europe like 2 weeks ago, and versus the amount of plastic that people use here in Singapore, Europe is like plastic free. Oh my goodness. In Singapore,
really?
It is absolutely petrifying. Like, you go to the supermarket and there's one banana wrapped in a plastic container, and they take it to the till, and the guy's like, here's a bag for your banana that's in a bag, and they're putting it into a plastic bag. And you're like, no, you just bought one banana. You don't need a bag for that. Like,
it's in a bag.
Crazy. Oh my goodness. It's so scary here. So scary.
That is frightening, really frightening. How have you gone about the process of developing products that obviously you didn't have any experience in before? It's not like you work for Tampax or anything like that. So how did you bring people on board that could help advise you on products, or was it just purely your own research? And I guess, what is different about ILO to the mainstream products that are out there that we can buy in our local pharmacy?
Sure. So I'll start with why ILO is different, if that's okay. We only use organic cotton in our tampons, which means that they're completely chemical free. The way that we package our tampons in boxes, so generally, like mainstream products, you'll buy like 20 regular tampons in one box, or you know, mini ones in one box. Basically, in ILO, you get a mixed absorbency, and this helps reduce toxic shock syndrome. So the reason that people get toxic shock syndrome is because you really should not be using the same absorbency for the whole of your period. So if you notice, you have like light days, heavy days, then light days again. on, like, you should always use the lowest absorbency tampon for your flow that day. So, like, using...
We're all guilty of that when you've bought, like, 48 super tampons and you're like, eh, I'll just use it.
No, exactly. And that's what these tampon companies know. Like, they know that you shouldn't be using them, but they're like, well, you're going to buy them anyway, so... Why would I, you know, waste more time?
Have 48.
Exactly. So we put mixed absorbencies in our tampons, which helps reduce toxic shock syndrome. So they're the main two factors that are different with our tampons. With our sanitary pads, they're, and so, sorry, because they're organic cotton, they're also 100% biodegradable. Like, there's no plastic, which some mainstream companies have inside their tampons, or like polyester fibers, because it's like a filler to the cotton.
Ugh. Yeah. Really, to make it like silky soft.
Exactly. Or like fragrances, for example, which is like chemicals again in your vajayjay. So our sanitary pads, they're also natural bamboo and they're also biodegradable. So we're really looking at this like menstrual waste pollutant as well as making a non-toxic product for your body. So the way I went about finding ILO products and researching and stuff is what I did was I actually, before I even started with my branding, my concept, anything like that, I found my manufacturer because I wanted to be sure that like I could get this made. I didn't want to spend a fortune on branding and stuff and then be like, oh crap, I got to get my own scientists, my own factory. I need like $5 million.
Yeah, falling at the first hurdle type thing and you've already spent the money on branding.
I'm like, oh my God. So I found a manufacturer first and they actually manufacture for only one other organic cotton tampon company and they're based in America. So they know their stuff. They're super highly regulated. It's all made in Europe where laws are super, super strict. And so I found them first and started working with them on like how maybe, you know, packaging could be different and absorbency mix, you know, and they're also like, yeah, but we just put the same absorbency in a packet. I'm like, I know, but please can we change that? They're like, I don't know. I'm like, go on, it'll be fine.
You know, like it make it happen.
Exactly. Oh. I'm paying you guys. And so then once I had my manufacturing place and I had all my figures and costs and da-da-da, then I did my branding.
And where did the name come from?
Oh my God, it took so long.
I love it because it's really different, but I'm really intrigued to know where it came from.
So I was just like looking up different words for like moon and cyclical and cycle and like, you know, different things. And then someone on the phone to me, I think, was like, oh yeah, I'm about to get my joy. And then I remembered back in the UK, some people are like call their period their joy, kind of.
Okay.
You know, ironic. And so I was like, oh, interesting. So then I just started Googling, like, what is joy in Spanish? What is joy in Finnish? So it's actually joy in Finnish.
Oh, it's amazing.
That's just a little play for me.
But there's no reason for it to be Finnish. You just liked joy in Finnish.
Yeah, no. I'm not finished. But then I was like, Ilo, I like that. It's like short, sweet. Branding looks really good. It's really clear on a package. So it just stuck.
And I feel like it works in some, there's no obvious way, but I feel like it sits quite nicely with the whole kind of feminine care. I can see the brand. I can see the brand on the shelf type thing, if you know what I mean. Yeah. I think that's a big part when you're coming up with a brand name is thinking, where, if you're going to have it in a shop or in a supermarket, where would it be sat? What would it be sat next to? Does it fit? Type thing.
Yeah.
So exactly. I totally get that. What's the kind of big plan for the business? Do you want to be, are you planning on just being online? Do you want to be in, like, is it subscription? Will you be looking at going into supermarkets and Boots and all of those?
So we are a subscription service and we deliver to your door monthly. You can cancel, change your address, change your size absorbency whenever you want. The plan is I'm thinking really big. So independent stores all over the world, and we will always be looking for that list to grow. So if you have a store, please let me know. We want to be in supermarkets. Well, I say we, but it's me.
Is it still just you at the moment?
Yeah, it is still just me. I'm working on an educational program that I'm looking to take into kind of like primary school age to just start that conversation.
Brilliant.
Because research shows that the sooner that you start these conversations about normal bodily functions, the more accepted they are. And as we know, periods are like hush hush and the secret and da da da, which I'm totally against.
I think boys should be educated just as much as girls. There are too many boys that are like, even men now, that are like, oh, don't want to talk about that. Ugh, yuck. And you're like, excuse me, if we didn't have them, we wouldn't be able to have babies.
Exactly. And I'm like, if like it, with my husband, you know, like I get my period every month, which means you live with someone who gets their period every month.
Yes.
Which means this affects you just as much as me, buddy.
Like, yeah, get trust on the me, train. It does.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so we really plan, and it's not just for females. Like, and obviously with the whole transgender, there are men that bleed too. So we're really conscious about that. And so our educational programs are really for boys and girls. I'm currently writing a monthly menstrual workshop for parents on how to approach this topic with their teenagers. So language to use, psychology behind periods, et cetera, et cetera. So it really is, it's not like, for me, ILO isn't just me selling you tampons or sanitary pads. And it's amazing if you want to buy them from me, but I'm really trying to get you back in touch with your body and really feel empowered by having your period. Like, your period is one of the biggest health indicators your body can give you.
Yeah.
And so people just don't tap into that and don't listen to it. And it's, especially now, like, I have major hormone issues. So 2007, I was told, like, pretty much wouldn't be able to have kids. So for me, it's been a massive thing of, like, learning how to use my period and getting my period and keeping my period healthy. And what does that involve? Food, exercise, mental health, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and, like, fertility is such a massive topic at the moment, not just for men, but also mainly for women. And it all comes down to your period and your menstrual health. So for me, ILO is really like a resource. And, you know, if I can get one boy or girl feeling more positive about their period and empowered.
I think that's incredible. And I applaud you for what you're doing and what you're trying to achieve. And I'm glad that you're tackling what is such a, it's almost taboo, and yet it's not, it's normal, but yet we like to treat it like it's something we shouldn't talk about. And I find it infuriating. I had a brush with cervical cancer a couple of years ago, and it's another topic that you feel like you can't talk about. Like, cancer you can talk about, but we don't talk about smear tests, we don't talk about, you know, our vajayjays and the fact that things sometimes go wrong with them. It's all this sort of like, oh no, you don't talk about it. And we should talk about it more. And my, you know, you're saying your menstrual cycle is a real health indicator. And I didn't know that. And I had so many symptoms. And it was only eventually that those symptoms kind of compiled so much that eventually I tipped myself off to the doctor. And then she was like, you do know you're slightly overdue for a smear test. And I was like, oh, am I? And she was like, yep, you're about 4 months overdue for it. I was like, oh, that's not too bad. But it was those symptoms that got me there. And so many people ignore it because they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, when I was doing the research for ILO, so I polled a huge number of women. And, like, I think there was, I think the final number was 3 out of 15 women had been told about their periods by their mother. The rest had been told by teachers, social workers, like, people in power over them. And I was like, that is so crazy that your mom, who has been through this and knows the ins and outs, ups and downs, emotions that go with your period, did not even broach that conversation with you, you know. And, like, as a parent, the thought that Molly would be taught about her period by a teacher, a male teacher, is like, no, this is my responsibility to make my daughter know that her body is 100% perfect, 100% normal. All of these things are going to happen. Some months it will, you know, be more intense. Other months it will be less. But it's all okay, babe. And, like, anytime you come to me, you know, or your dad, for that matter, or your dad. But, you know, like, just...
Who's probably been well-educated in periods now.
He's like, can we stop talking about tampons already? I'm like, no, he doesn't understand the intricacies, right? So if it's like triple layered wide width, he's like, okay, I just want some food now.
I don't want to know. Yeah, I don't care, he's darling.
Like, that's great.
I'm so happy for vajayjays all over the world.
Yay.
Oh, that's priceless. Going back to you talking about fighting period poverty and donating profits, how are you seeing that happen? Where are you seeing that money going and how is it going to benefit? Because we hear a lot about donation of profits and we don't always know where they go. Have you got a plan in place as to where that's going to go and who is going to benefit?
So what I do now is I take the percentage, 50% of my net profits, and I donate it to this Irish charity, and they only take product donation. So I take the amount that it's worth and I give them ILO product to that amount. And if it comes in, you know, a bit under, I like, you know, it's not like I take out 5 tampons from a box and don't give them the rest of the tampons. Like, I give them the whole box. You know what I mean? So they come.
Yeah. I'm going to cut this one in half.
So it was like 26p. yeah, so like that's what I do. And I work with them on a regular basis. So I don't send them product every month because for me, postage is like ridiculous. But like it comes out every 6 months. So I've actually sent them just one going now because I was like, okay, I need to send this lot off and there'll be another lot going out in 2 months because I'm like, so when did I launch? March. So I'm like 3 months in, you know?
Yeah. You're still, really green.
Yeah, really green, but like whirlwind, It's been amazing. And the That's response incredible. Has just been so mind-blowing. Like I get messages every day. Oh my God, I didn't realize having a tampon in like didn't have to hurt my body. Like for years I've been using tampons the wrong size and it's been killing me, but I just thought this is what happens. Or like just the education aspect, like wow, I didn't even realize there are 4 like phases to my menstrual cycle. That's amazing. I just thought I bled for 5 days, like, you know. And then you see you hear of the women working with their cycles now and I'm like, oh my God, that is like, that makes my day, you know.
I think that's wonderful. And, you know, it's one of those things being self-employed is, I mean, I get terrible PMT, like really bad. It's irrational. I'm depressed. I watch a Dogs Trust advert and sob my heart out and there's no reason. And then I'm just like, oh, I know why. I know why I'm crying at an advert. But it's great because it means that I can kind of plan my workload around it and keep those days, you know, not too busy. And, you know, if I feel really, really tired, I can take, you know, I can still work, but I just don't do something too intense and too stressful. And so many people, you know, we just power on and we soldier on and we're expected to do it. But actually, if you can work a bit more in tune with yourself, then you are actually a lot more productive. You know, especially if you have only like 1 week of your cycle, which is really bad, which for me is the PMT, the rest of the time I'm, you know, super productive. So I think it's important we understand it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, that's what I say to people. It's like, really just like, you know, we'll go back to the basics and we'll work with your cycle for 2 months so that you just understand your mood to start with. And once you can see that pattern, you're like, okay, so I'm not feeling lazy today. I'm actually about to get my period and I'll give my body a break, you know, and the like negative thoughts start to change because I've had that as well where I'm like, oh my God, I just don't want to do anything, but I really should. Jesus, I'm being so lazy. Like, come on, Jack, get your ass in gear, you know, like, and now I'm like, I've got to give myself those downtimes. My body is literally like something is dying inside of me and this is a crazy change. You know, my hormones are like peaking or it's just crazy. So yeah, it's really nice to like hear women's stories. It does make it all worth it because it's tough. Like being your own boss is tough. And you know, sometimes you get setbacks and it's so hard to get over. And I'm like a super emotional person. So I like take things really to heart, which can be difficult, you know.
How have you found it with like marketing the business and things? Because obviously you're still quite new, but you've had, you know, amazing success so far. How did you kind of jump into getting the word out about your brand and what you were doing?
Nothing specific.
Did you immediately jump onto like a social media platform? Did you go straight after like PR and getting sort of sending out press releases? What did you kind of do to...
It was social media. I haven't done any press releases at all, which reminds me that's on my to-do list.
Okay, that's fine.
I would have had a lot of like contacts from my events and styling days and worked with like authors, you know. So I've got a good network, which really lucky. But the minute I knew that I was doing ILO in August, so it was maybe September, October, and I had a name and I had like an initial logo that my designer had done for me, like I got on Instagram and I just started posting every day. And I take that quite seriously. I spend like a day a month creating content or searching for content, and I put it all in Planoly and it's just scheduled. And then, you know, when replies come in, I do it, because otherwise it's hard to find the image for the day and think of a caption.
Oh yeah. Blah, blah.
So that's done. And I definitely have got loads of interest through Instagram. I'd say about 85% of my business comes through Instagram.
Amazing.
I've done a few Facebook ads, but you know what? I'm not an expert and I just end up wasting money. And I'm like, oh, so I had 4 clicks and I spent £200, like,
yeah, it's one of those things you need to outsource to someone who's going to like manage it for you, because it's they'd like to pretend you can do it yourself, but you can't. It's really complicated.
Really complicated. So to be honest, I put the word out to a few people that I knew who had big Instagram followings and were like, look, could you just, you know, spread the word, this is what I'm doing. And thankfully I'd had that trust with them. So like they knew I wasn't just like a messer. They were like, Jet's doing something, taking it seriously. Amazing. So that really helped. And then I'm just like, I'm really trying to be a brand that doesn't just sell you products. Like, of course, that's my income. Like the more tampons people buy, the more donations I can make and I can
give
myself a wage. But like, I really want to be a brand that like customers have a relationship with, and they're not just coming back for tampons or sanitary pads. They're coming back because like they might enjoy my story, or they might just resonate with something that ILO is saying to them. They might look forward to the educational tips. They might be interested in how food can affect your menstrual cycle, you know? So I'm really trying to be more of a resource than just product company. And I think having that from the get-go has really, really set me up well, because like, you know, I get messages about the products, but I also get messages of like, thank you so much for writing that blog post. Like, I had no idea that I should even think about X, Y, and Z, or like, this really helped me to realize that I need to go to the doctor, you know. And I'm not saying I'm a medical trained anything, but like, there are things that we need to be aware of with our bodies.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think it's great what you're doing. And I love that Instagram, you know, it's totally the right platform for you to be on. It makes complete sense. And I love the fact that you are, you know, you're adding value. You aren't just selling a product. You're adding value. And that is ultimately how people build connections with brands these days, is we want to find something more within that brand than just the product or service that they're selling. It's they need to be adding something extra, really. And people are going to come back to your site again and again and again to read blog posts, to, you know, hopefully if someone's Googling symptoms of something, they'll end up on your site. And then buying a product from you is obviously great, because you get to make more donations and you get to pay yourself a wage. And that means that you can continue to fund your business, which means you can continue to fund the free content that you're putting out, which a lot of people don't realize is, if you don't buy from businesses that you enjoy their free content, the free content will eventually stop because they won't be able to do it anymore. But I think it's great. I mean, have you had any pinch yourself moments yet? Is it too soon?
I did have a pinch myself moment. I've had a few, to be honest. Like, I've had a few.
Go on. I love hearing about these.
So my first store that I am stocked in, that stocked me, literally just emailed me out of the blue. Like, hey, we've seen you on Instagram. We would love to stock your product. And at the time, I wasn't even putting it out there that I were looking for stockists. It was just like, because our branding is really, like our box packaging is so different from anything that's out there.
Did you do that deliberately so you stand out? Yeah.
Yeah. So there was definitely the conversation with the designer of like, I want to be Instagrammable. Like, I want my tampons to be on Instagram. So, you know, and she, the designer Laura, she is incredible and she's a packaging specialist. So it was amazing to see the process and to work with her. Yeah. So the first pinch me moment was the stockist definitely getting in touch with me out of the blue. The second pinch me moment was when someone was like, we would like you to come and speak to us at a conference in front of like 2,000 people. And I was like, oh, what? I was like, this is like month one and I'm literally just putting myself out there right now. And like, I cannot believe you want me to talk about tampons on stage.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so like, and again, that's not happened yet, but like that intention and being asked is like incredible for me, you know. And even if it doesn't happen, like they thought of me, you know.
That's so cool.
So yeah, and then just like, yeah, when I get messages, and it does really make me sound like an emotional, you know, female, but like just getting messages from people being like, you've made a difference to every single month. You know, like that stuff is really heartwarming. And like, yeah, okay, this is why I'm doing it. And this is why it's so hard sometimes. And, you know, keep going, like, keep going.
It's brilliant. And how do you balance it all being a mum and an entrepreneur? How do you kind of keep all the balls in the air? I'm definitely not using the word mumpreneur. So how do you kind of, how do you balance it out, especially with a startup business that is so ambitious? How are you kind of keeping all your plates spinning?
Yeah. Oh my God, it's so hard for anyone out there. Like, I mean, being your own boss is hard. Like, don't get me wrong. So in Singapore, we're very lucky. We can afford to have a live-in nanny.
Okay.
And Marilyn is part of our family. She is fucking amazing. She's like, both Tom and I are like, please God, never let her leave us. Like, seriously.
Just stay forever. Stay.
So we're like, even when Molly leaves for university, like, Marilyn is staying with us. Like, so she is a massive help. I would not be able to do this without her, because Molly's at the age, she's like 17 months, something like that, maybe 18 months. And she started walking at 9 months. So okay. She's really fast learner. She is into everything and she only sleeps about an hour and a half a day now. So there's no way, like there's absolutely no way I would be able to be doing this. So what I do is I spend the mornings with Molly and I'm completely tech free. So I just hang out with her. She's not at school yet, or like creche, whatever it is. So I just hang out with her. We go for walks, we swim, paint, whatever it is. Then have lunch. Molly goes down for a nap and that's when Marilyn takes over and I just work. Then I'm home for bedtime, supper and bedtime, and I put Molly to bed. Tom and I will have supper because we make it. That's our thing. Like, we sit down for supper together. We light candles. We sit opposite each other. We aren't on our phones. That's our time.
Really important.
Where we connect. Yeah, like, it's, I mean, we've actually done that since the beginning of our relationship, which is, like, not that long ago. But having a baby, it just... it's like a pressure cooker. It really is. You can really forget who you are and why you're together. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this little thing totally takes over, like a puppy. Like, oh my God, puppy would be amazing right now. So, yeah, and so then Tom and I have supper and then, like, I'll work again. You know, because I'm in Singapore, so I'm, like, 7 hours ahead of everyone back in Europe. It's really tough sometimes. Like, hey, let's have a phone chat, you know, and they're like, oh, I'm only available at 5 p.m. I'm like, okay, that won't work for me.
Yeah, not ideal.
But like, you know, and one of the biggest things I've learned since being a mum, and this would not have happened any other way. Like, my personality is, if I'm in something, it's very instinctual and I'm full force ahead. Like, there's no stopping me. I don't think, I just do.
Yeah.
Being a mum has taught me that, like, I cannot work how I used to work and I just have to lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a real battle for the first probably a year actually, I had quite bad postnatal depression. Mm-hmm. Because I just struggled. Like, I wanted to be creative and I wanted my own time and I didn't want to have to be on her schedule where, like, she was napping for, you know, 3 hours. So, oh, there's my chance to, like, style photos and take pictures and write blog posts and send all the emails. It was, like, really,
yeah,
really tough for me. And I've learned really only in the last, like, 4 or 5 months of, like, you just have to let that shit go. Like, you can write emails tomorrow. You'll get that blog post written tomorrow. Tiny steps. You're still moving forward. And you still have that belief and that intention. And, like, that is what is going to keep this business going for the long term. So, you know, there are better days than others, definitely.
I think it's the same for everybody. And, I mean, I'm not a mum, but I'm sure there are loads of mums listening thinking, yep, yep. I mean, just being self-employed, you know, I find it tough. I do often wonder how people do it with children. Often wonder. Yeah.
And I have to be honest, like, if we didn't have Marilyn, like, if we were back in Europe and, you know, we just wouldn't be able to afford to live a nanny at all, like, at all.
No.
Like, I don't know how comfortable I am with putting Molly into creche younger. She's going at the end of July, so she'll be 18 months in July. And, like, I feel I've had this really great amount of time with her, and that's very privileged. Do not get me wrong. Like, I completely understand my privilege there. But I think if we were back in Europe, like, Ilo just would not have happened.
No.
Because I wanted that time with Molly, and there's just no way. Like, just no way. So anyone, oh, my God, heroes. Like, it's just blank, you know, and, like, every day. I think I'm learning more with Molly than I've done over my 15 years of business life. Like, it's just mental.
It must make you a lot more productive as well, because you've got set time that you need to focus. There's no, like, oh, well, I'll just, like, scroll through Instagram and I'll go on WhatsApp and browse the internet. And it's like, no, I have to focus.
I don't know. Some days I'm really focused. But, like, this week, so Molly was ill and I was sleeping with her. No sleep whatsoever. So, like, in the daytime, when she was having naps, I was sleeping, which meant I didn't get to work.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, there's, like, this to-do list that gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And your mind is, like, bubbling with all of these thoughts and ideas and creative projects and, like, collaborations. And you just, you got to let it go. Like, you just got to be like, it's okay. Like, take a breath.
Well, that's... When you have your own business, though, and also being a mum, if you don't work, then work doesn't work. Nothing else works if you don't work. So therefore, you have to look after yourself and you need to have your sleep, because if you're not functioning, nothing else is going to function either.
Okay. Like, I'm really excited when she goes to crash. It's only like 3 mornings a week, but I'm like, wow, I get 4 hours of uninterrupted work and 3 days of it. Oh my God. So exciting. Yeah, so hope
that is hope very exciting.
We won't just be like, yeah, sure, I'll just go for coffee and cake now.
I think sometimes you can do that. You've got to give yourself some time off every now and then. I think that's perfectly allowed. I'm a big believer that if you deny yourself something, you just want it all the more. So sometimes it's worth just doing it. I'm like that. If I fancy a piece of chocolate, I'll have a piece of chocolate, because if I don't, by the end of the week, I'll have eaten like a massive bar of dairy milk or something. So sometimes you just got to give in. So good. That's everything I've got for you today. What I wanted to ask you, though, which I ask everybody, is whose story would you like to hear on Smaller Mighty Conversations?
So I would like to hear Lucy Werner's story. I don't know if you know Lucy. I've been following her only recently. She is like this awesomely funny mum who's just about to have her second baby, but she also does like PR and marketing. And she really has helped me to be like, go get it. You know, like, press releases, like I was saying earlier, I've not sent any out. And like, she has really kind of made it like fun, because I'm not a writer. Yeah. And so she just like helps with like little tips, you know, which I find really fantastic.
Love it. Amazing. Thank you. I will link Lucy in the show notes. But thank you so much for being on today's show, Jet. It's been so lovely chatting with you. I love what your business stands for. I love what you're doing. And I wish you all the very best.
Thank you so much for having me.
And so that was my chat with Jet. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. And I hope that you have learned something from today's episode, maybe taken something away about perhaps how you can support a cause close to your heart using some of your profits, whether it's sharing product or donation of percentage of your profit funds. But that's everything for this week. Keep pushing forward. Your next great success is just around the corner.